It's time to talk about food and drink and restaurants and cooking and kitchens and food shows on TV and lots more. It's Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Good morning. Happy eating, happy drinking, and all of that stuff. I was thinking this week about an incident in 1984. Not an incident, but a time in 1984. I was working in Philadelphia as a music jock, and our station used to do these after-work bar parties. And it was a good opportunity to schmooze with listeners. And I went to one, and a listener came up to me, and she said, "Oh, David, it's nice to meet you. I've listened to you for years. I thought you would be a fat guy." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, because you're always talking about food on the radio." And I was thinking, I thought about it after she said that, and yes, I did. And, you know, in Philadelphia, you've got your, here in St. Louis, you've got Ted Drew's and Toasted Ravioli. And in Philly, we had, you know, cheesesteaks and tasty cakes and all that stuff. And, yeah, you know, it was good good local reference, and so it was something that I talked about a lot then, and now, you know, we do an hour every week on Saturdays from 11 to noon. Welcome to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan. I'll mention our website. It's foodtalkstl.com. We're on Twitter at foodtalkstl. And speaking of people who are not quite at St. Louis institution level, but you guys have been around now for 20 years, our guest in studio is Josh Allen of Companion. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm happy to have you in here. And as I told you beforehand, I know a little bit about Companion. I've heard of you. I've eaten your bread. I've been in your retail stores. But I don't know that much. How did you... I know your family, you're part of the Allen Foods family, right? So you worked for them before you got into this?
Well, I grew up in the family business and always worked as a kid cleaning out the freezer and doing the stuff during the summer, sweeping trucks and washing trucks and things like that. And
just a second. Can you tell people, first of all, who don't know how big Allen Foods was and still is, although it's not owned by the family anymore?
Yeah, my family sold the business. It was 101 years old when they sold in 2002. Started as a general store in southern Illinois and grew into a chain of stores. And then during World War II had gotten into the frozen food business and then moved to St. Louis and grew as a regional distribution, broadline distributor for the food service industry. You know, I don't know exactly what the revenue was at the end. They were a pretty good size company in the end when my family decided to sell in 2002. It was just kind of the right time. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of consolidation in the business and ended up selling to U.S. Foods.
And you said you worked for them before you started Companion.
Yeah, just as a kid. But I fell in love with baking bread when I was going to school and finished school out in San Francisco. And so I didn't ever work for my family's business after college or at a point where it became a career.
When you then came back and said, "Okay, we're going to start this Companion," used to be called Companion Baking, and now you just call it Companion.
Yeah, we just sort of have dropped the baking piece over the time. You know, Companion, the Latin root of Companion is campane, which means with bread. Mm-hmm. So it was always really about how can we make bread a part of the conversation as opposed to just something that's sitting in a plastic basket in the center of a table. And so that's sort of been our mission from the beginning, was to figure out ways, using bread as the foundation of what and who we are, how we can elevate bread from the conversational aspect of it.
Well, I always thought it was a genius name because, you know, it's kind of warm and friendly. It's like, you know, I'm thinking more not the Latin meaning that you mentioned there, but more, you know, your friend, your chum, your companion. By the way, have you all ever sponsored Garrison Keillor when he's ever come to St. Louis? You know, the Prairie Home Companion public radio show?
No, we haven't, but we've thought about it.
Well, please tell John Sloan that he needs to get on the stick and tell him I said that he needs to take care of that. Okay, so you came back, you started Companion, and... you know, did you just have like a spot or what'd you do?
When I moved back in 93, bought an oven that took about 6 months to get over here from France. So we bought a French stone oven that came over in a boat and didn't even have a location at the time that I ordered the oven. Moved back, drove across the country from the Bay Area through the flood. So their water started in Kansas City and we saw it all the way back to St. Louis. It was in August of 93.
Mm-hmm.
And really looked for a retail location for a long time, and knock on wood, didn't find one, because I don't think I really knew enough about baking. I knew how to make about six things. And my family actually had owned a building in South City that was an old warehouse for them on Gustine, which is where actually we still are today. And so we took about 1,800 square feet of that space and tiled the floor and painted the walls and cleaned it up a little bit and put the oven in and just started baking, really, and had a handful of customers. I have to always send a thank you to Bill Cardwell, who was one of our first customers, who really kind of adopted me in many ways as a flour-dusted kid who walked in the back door and asked for a little bit of assistance and looking for customers. And we just kind of grew the business, one customer at a time, one bread variety or item at a time, and really focused on listening. It's funny. I think my grandfather always told me, if you listen hard enough, your customers will tell you how to run your business. And there was a lot of truth to that. So we would start doing bread for the table, and somebody would say, hey, we need a bun for hamburger at lunch service. We don't want to buy from another bakery. Can you just make that for us? And we started doing that. And it went into any number of different items that we're still doing today.
Wonderful. We're visiting with Josh Allen, Mr. Companion with Companion Bread, and Bill Cardwell. Cardwell's at the Plaza, actually, was how I first became, I first heard your name, because that was, one of our go-to places in the 90s, and we went there quite a lot. And the person would come around with the bread basket and here, would you like a slice of this or a slice of this? And I'd say, no, I want both or all three, because the bread was pretty spectacular. Some restaurants, the bread is, okay, we got some bread. Some places bake their own bread and do a spectacular job. But I guess that's probably, is that the main part of your business right now, is selling to restaurants, or just a very big part?
The restaurant piece is a big part of what we do. It's an awful lot. But our business is expanding into other items. We make a lot of pretzels now, Bavarian pretzels, and we're selling into a lot of the small microbreweries and hotels, hospitals, country clubs, schools. We have a very broad customer base. Knock on wood, the food service community in St. Louis, I think, as the chefs have become quite spectacular in St. Louis, it really has had a trickle-down effect on all of the micro vendors. So there were any number of us in the industry. Caldi's opened a year after we did as a micro coffee roaster, and Schlafly opened 2 years before us as a micro brewery. And I think that little micro vendor community has really seen the benefit of the evolution of the St. Louis food scene. And we owe an awful lot to the Bill Cardwells of the world and the Gerard Crafts and the Kevin Nashens and the folks that are really kind of driving change and innovation in St. Louis. And it helps everybody in the industry.
And then a few years later, Josh, I became aware of you because I saw this stand over in the corner at Deerberg's. And, there's Companion Breads. And there were, I don't know how many different ones. But sometimes, there'd be just one particular one of this kind of bread and one or two of another. And so I bought some, made some sandwiches, or served it with meals, and it was good stuff. Now, you're in a lot of grocery stores as well.
Yeah, I mean, the grocery business is a big part of what we do. We deliver fresh bread to all the area grocery stores 7 days a week. So all the Deerbergs, a select number of Schnucks stores, the Straub's, Local Harvest, Ladue Market, some other smaller independents as well. And it's been a really nice part of our business, and it kind of one helps the other. So I think if we have a lot of wait staff in restaurants that'll say, yeah, it's the same bread you can get down the street at this grocery store, and the same folks that are getting the bread in the grocery store have over the years challenged the chefs to bring in better quality bread into the restaurants. And so I think that it very much kind of helps and plays off of those two aspects of our business.
Well, and it's a good thing for the restaurants to have you, I'm sorry, for the grocery stores to have your stuff, because even though Schnucks and Deerberg's, and I guess, they have their own bakeries and they sell their own, here's our French bread, here's that. It's good to have your stuff there and kind of, broaden the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, what we do is just ridiculously labor intensive, too. They don't want to do what we do.
Well, no, that's, that I'm sure that's a lot of the restaurant people, too. The word outsourcing sometimes has a bad connotation, but I don't want to change my own oil, Josh. I'd rather go to, Valvoline or Jiffy Lube and have those guys do it.
And restaurant kitchens historically haven't been well equipped to make bread. No different than they haven't been well equipped to roast coffee or brew beer. or grow vegetables for that part. But all of that's changing, and certainly there are some chefs doing their own, you know, great products in house. But it helps that, you know, it helps everybody if folks can bring attention to a particular item. So if bread becomes something that somebody's known for, whether it's from us or they're making it themselves, in the end it helps us and all of the other bakers in St. Louis.
Hey, you're listening to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. We're broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios. My name is David Craig, and we're visiting with Josh Allen, who is the owner and the head dude at Companion. You bake then all your bread over at the location in the city.
Yeah, our bakery is in South City on Gustine Avenue, just south of Chippewa.
And you have something called the Early Bird Outlet, which I don't know about. What is that?
So we've always enjoyed having a retail presence in the city, and we've had the Early Bird Outlet now for a few years. We're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday mornings from 7 to noon. And you know, what a lot of folks don't know about us is we make about 350 items a day, only a couple dozen of which end up in the grocery stores. And mm-hmm. So we make an awful lot of things. And so what we decided to do down there was open the doors on the weekends and sell everything by the pound. So everything that we make, we sell for $2.50 a pound. So basically folks can pick and choose and put things together. So rather than having to have a sign and a price for 300 different items, folks just come in, pick what they want. We throw it on a scale and they walk out. And it's about 40% less than what they would find for like items in the grocery store. But they're also finding a lot of items that we're just not in a position to sell in the grocery store. So it's been really fun. It's been very well received, and we get nice crowds, and anybody that's schlepping to South City where we are, you know, has to be in a pretty good mood when they come in, because it's, you know, there's not a lot else happening around us where we are on Gustine.
And do you throw in, you said you have 350 different kind of things that you all bake. Do you kind of like, okay, well, here's something that's kind of obscure and off the wall, and we've got some of those this weekend, or is Early Bird Outlet pretty much the same stuff every week?
Oh, no, I mean, it's a little bit of hit or miss depending on what folks have ordered. So if we get a big order for something that we don't normally make, you know, on that particular day, then there's always going to be extra. You know, we have to produce, we produce about 12,000 pounds of bread every day.
Wow.
And so we've got to produce, you know, 3 to 5% extra to make sure that we don't make any mistakes or short our customers any. So there, it always leaves, you know, 300, 500, 600 pounds of bread that we've got left over. And, you know, it's all fresh. It's all made the same way, but we're just trying to make sure that we don't short our customers, because that's the most important thing in the wholesale business is somebody orders something, they need to get it. And so we always have an interesting variety of products left over, some of which is always there, and then some of which, yeah, definitely there are some things. And then we like to play with stuff. So we make a miche every Saturday that's only available at the outlet, which is a big 3-pound loaf of peasant bread that's naturally leavened. We've been putting our croissants through the pretzel dipper and doing a pretzel croissant with a little pearl sugar on top.
I tasted that, and it's delicious, and it is a nice mix of sweet and salty.
Yeah, so we're just trying to do different stuff that we can kind of play with. It's a good place to experiment with it, because we are always trying to develop new items and work with things. We do a lot of chef's events and special dinners that we're participating in, and a lot of times there's product left over from that. So, it's always a little bit different what folks are going to find on the weekend.
We're visiting with Josh Allen of Companion on 590 The Fan on Food Talk STL. And then you have your cafes, coffee shops. I've been to the one there in Clayton on Maryland. Had a delicious, I guess you'd call it a frittata, a baked egg thing. Really good.
Thank you.
And been to the one there in Ladue on Clayton Road. And we have a listener called in and asked if there are going to be any new Companion locations opening in the future. And I'm thinking, you know, coffee and sandwiches and all of that. So what's the word?
Most likely not. It just isn't a focus of where our business growth is coming from. We're really bread bakers. And the cafes have been great opportunities for us to play and to talk to consumers on a daily basis. But it isn't a model for our growth, for our business. We're continuing to bake more and more bread and want to grow as a regional bakery, continue to serve the Midwest in any number of different channels, but we don't necessarily think that retail is the way in which we're going to do that. There's some people that are doing terrific jobs in that. It's not an easy business to grow, and you know, the hours are limited in terms of what we can do, and mm-hmm. it's just probably not.
Well, in the last couple of decades since you started, and you started in 1993, there have been kind of, you know, there's been all this stuff about, oh, you can't eat carbs, oh, you know, Dr. Atkins says you can only eat this kind of food. Has the Atkins and low carb, has that affected you? Have you had cycles up and down, or has your growth been pretty consistent?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think more than anything, folks are carb aware now. I guess that would be the term that I would use for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're thinking about it. And so in many respects, it's helped us because they're not consuming as much, but what they are going to consume, they're going to make sure is pretty darn good. So if you're going to get a great baked good or a great loaf of bread, you're going to source that out from somebody that you think is doing it a way that you're happy with or doing it the right way. So in some respects, it's kind of pushed the quality envelope forward because people aren't just consuming bread out of a nonstop breadsticks out of a basket or something like that. But definitely, I think, you know, we've seen it more in the wholesale operation. I think the best example is, you know, hotels in the mid-90s, every time they had a banquet, they ordered 2.5 dinner rolls per person. And now that number is one dinner roll per person. So, you know, certainly we're seeing a lot less product being consumed in those kinds of situations. The convention centers, the hotels have cut down on the amount of product they're putting out. And even some of the chefs and restaurateurs, while they're still serving bread,
sure,
maybe it's a course now, maybe it's an appetizer item with a really neat composed or compound butter. So it's something that's talked about and something that's appreciated, but it's being consumed in lesser quantities.
Well, it's if you're going to consume carbs, I mean, with all due respect to people who bake white bread and sell white bread in their grocery stores, there's not much there, you know. It's just kind of, you know, it's like, okay, and if you can get some good bread instead of the white bread to make your sandwich, the sandwich is so much better.
Right. No, and I agree. I mean, I mean, look, the majority of what we sell is quote-unquote white bread, too. It just happens to be a long-fermented, you know, crispy baguette
or something
like that. But long fermentation does break down the proteins differently. You have the ability to digest it, and your body can take on sourdough breads and long-fermented breads in a different way than they can quick-fermented, fast-rising white sandwich bread. There's no question about it. But folks are still consuming, you know, they're just aware of the diet, which I think in many respects is helping everybody in the industry because it's making the quality a bigger component. It's not just about portion size. And you know, it's better for the restaurateurs who don't have to put a 16-ounce steak on every plate. If they can do a great job with a 6-ounce filet that folks are satisfied with, then it's just easier. And I shouldn't say easier. It should improve the quality of what everybody's consuming.
And you don't want to waddle. If you go out to dinner, you don't want to waddle home. You want to say, hey, that was a good meal. And you don't want to just say, oh, I'm so stuffed. I mean, maybe once every now and then. Maybe when you go to grandma's or something like that. You have a big family. Are you bringing your kids into the companion world, Josh?
My oldest daughter is working at our cafe in Clayton, so she's there on Sundays if you stop in and say hello to her. But I think growing up in a family business, it was just part of who we were and what we were. And, mm-hmm. and I certainly want to pass that on, the idea of the work ethic and the idea of a commitment to quality and customer service. And you know, the service industry really is about service, and it's about holding the door for people if you're my son, and it's about, you know, just paying attention to those little things. And so if I can pass that on, whether they go into the food industry or whatever they do, I think all of those things have a lot of benefit.
Hey, one of the things that I'm trying to do with this show here on Food Talk is to maybe nudge people to step out of their comfort zone, and maybe instead of getting, you know, Wonder Bread, get some different kind of bread. Or if you live in the county, to maybe come in the city. If you live in Illinois, see what's going on in Chesterfield and so on. And maybe try some different kind of foods. So of the foods that you may have in a Deerberg's or a Schnucks, there are probably some that are maybe not as popular as others. And could you recommend one to listeners that's like, oh, if you try this, you'll like it? You know,
that's a terrific question. And you know, a lot of the things end up being weekends only, but just purely because of sales volume.
Mm-hmm.
And in most of the Deerberg stores, we do a rye bread, a German rye that we do on the weekends only. We also have it at our bakery in South City. And it's a long fermented whole rye bread, as opposed to most folks kind of grew up eating beefsteak rye or New York style rye, which is a light rye. So it's almost like white flour, in which the bran and the germ are removed from the rye. So a whole rye has all of that in there. And rye by itself, when you don't eat it with caraway, which is the way, again, most people have consumed rye, is really a wonderful thing. And the flavors of rye are absolutely amazing with butter, and it makes simple, just great simple toast. And so, you know, trying breads with some of those, some different flours, you know, in different ways, I think is always fun. And then I think the naturally leavened breads are something that, that can sometimes be scary for folks. I think San Francisco sourdough bread is a wonderful thing. I don't happen to like the volume of acidity in that bread. And so we do breads that are much milder, though they can be 100% naturally leavened, meaning produced without any commercial yeast. You can control the acidity just based on temperature and time and percentages of starters and things like that. And so, you know, the miche that I brought you, that I talked about on Saturdays, is a wonderfully mild 100% leavened bread, and it's a big loaf of bread, and I think I wrote a little manifesto to go with it if folks buy it, that tells them how to consume it over the course of a week and what else you can do with it, and the croutons and the French toast and the bread puddings. And you know, we recognize that part of the value proposition in buying a more expensive loaf of bread is making sure that none of it goes to waste.
Gotcha.
Because there's nothing worse than buying something, no matter how good it is, if you end up throwing away a portion of it, you just don't feel like it was worth that if you can't get through it. And so we have recipe booklets and we've got videos on our website. We've really invested a lot of energy on creating content and ways in which people can enjoy bread other than just eating it, you know, eating it out of a basket. And so that's an important piece of it. It's a, it's, we've done some things over the years with chefs where we've had them ask them to make dishes out of bread, and and I think it all becomes important components to the conversation in which, you know, which, what are the ways that we can, that we can enjoy this and get full enjoyment out of it so that we don't have to throw any away.
Well, hey, thank you very much for coming in and talking about Companion. And like I said, I knew a little bit about you, but now I know a little bit more. I appreciate your passion and your food. Your bread is good, and I'm looking forward. I'll take that miche home and share it with my wife and my mother-in-law and the kids. And now, do you recommend just tearing a piece off, or do you slice it when you cook it?
You can serve it either way. It's good.
Okay. All right. Because I know some people, it's like, no, I'm just going to reach in there and just tear some away. That's Josh Allen with Companion. The website is companionstl.com.
Yes, sir.
And your official portrait is on there. I did lift that and put that on my... It's actually a great caricature. I love it. Okay, Josh Allen from Companion. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about that new movie and actually give away passes to the movie A Place at the Table, which is opening this weekend at the TIV. That's coming up in the next segment on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS.